When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. We are real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all. I just told you who I thought I was. A guy.
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish.
Yes, Mr. West, turn a new child rebel. Lada's a badass child level. Who needs a chorus? We through with the Tyrannosaurus. Tyrone, it's been a year with no phone. How can you explain how high is your zone? We'll take a plane, rub his nose with cocaine. There's hoes in the magazines, lame saying you're lame. And the hate in advance, pull down your pants. Make them kiss both cheeks like we living in France.
Quiet. Every podcast starts with a brief quiet after Rob's verse. What's up? This is the Book of Ye podcast. I'm Chris Daniels.
I'm Rob Hayes.
We just got done watching the Lego Batman movie. That shit was fucking awesome.
It was a great movie, man.
It was so good.
A good way to wipe away some of the pain that happened last night, thanks to the gramophone givers.
Yeah, the people, whoever they are, who committed such grave injustice last night.
I mean, to give Chance the Rapper the best rap album over The Life of Pablo is ridiculous. No, that's not what I speak of. What I am upset about is, and you know what? I don't feel as bad as I have before when wronged by the Grammys, because immediately Adele was like,
yeah.
Even, you know, like there's like 30 people behind her. And instead of, like, you know, acknowledging them, she's like, hey, Lemonade is a way more important album.
She pulled the perfect card out. I mean, obviously she's sincere. Like, her and Beyonce had like a real moment, like kind of like fuck everybody else. It's like she knew and she gave credit where credit's due. And I know it was the perfect, like, you can't be mad at her speech at all. Anybody who was trying to come for her head at all. What else was she supposed to do?
There are three major categories. There's Song of the Year, there's a Record of the Year, and there's Album of the Year.
Which I've never got. What is the difference between Record of the Year and Song of the Year?
Well, when you give it to the same person like they did this year, it seems like there should be no difference. I think one is the performance and one is the construction.
Okay.
So one is like, hey, you know, whoever's in the front, their performance of the record, I think, is Song of the Year. And then the construction is Record of the Year. And the only reason I know that is because when Uptown Funk, I think, won Song of the Year, they said only Bruno Mars gets a Grammy. But if it would have won Record of the Year, then Trinidad James would have got a Grammy sent to his house.
But he's like credited. He's credited either way.
Yeah, but there's only certain people that it's some kind of
technicality.
Technicality.
But she went. Adele went away with Formation. Lost both of those. Song of the Year, Record of the Year. Didn't even get that.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Hello, I mean, Song of the Year. That I'll chop it up. Like I was not like surprised. Hello won Song of the Year. But then when it won Record of the Year, now it's like, well, it almost has to win Album of the Year, because they rarely give Song of the Year and Record of the Year to the same people. And when they do, it's almost like guaranteed. Like, how do you have the song and record, song / Record of the Year, and not the Album of the Year? Unless the album's just not nominated.
Makes sense.
But That being said, I'm upset with a few things. First of all, I think that there are other songs other than Formation that should have been pushed. I don't know if they like should have been like singles. I think that, you know, the fact that they were able to reduce Lemonade to Formation is kind of upsetting because it's so much bigger than Formation.
Yeah, but doesn't record like those for those song categories, I feel like so much of that is just built into like what are the hottest songs, like just like popularity wise, not even thinking like complete quality of the songs.
Exactly.
I think there's better songs on Lemonade than Formation.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is for her being on a label, that I follow the label's fault for not making like packaging and figuring out ways to get to radio Daddy Lessons. Cause I feel like a Daddy Lessons campaign shifts it. And now you got two songs that are like in multiple categories, because still like Beyonce is being pigeonholed into urban contemporary, whatever the heck that means. And like, you know, and not other categories. And Lemonade is a genre bending album. And, you know, if the Academy, unfortunately, they're not just going to find that. But if you show them that, you know, like there's no escaping the genre bending from Chance because it's throughout. So you're going to have a mixture of gospel and hip hop and, you know, in there. And so you're like, well, this is, you know, great. And it's different. And it's got this thing that we haven't seen before. I feel like that is within Lemonade, but Lemonade might not have gotten the opportunity to show that. That being said, hands down, there's no question Lemonade was the album of the year. I remember 2 years ago, a man with no shirt on but a velvet blazer walking on stage and attempting to defend true artistry, and people did not like it. They were upset with him. Even people who were upset last night were all like, oh man, Beck, you know, was by himself. Beyonce had 25 people working on her record. So you think that Beck is equal to 25 people? That doesn't make sense. It's not an award of like how much did you do on your own. It's an award of who made the best album. The album of the year.
We got to bring in our guest for this episode right now. The other half of Comedy Outliers. My man Mike Brown's in here cracking up right now.
What's up? I've been trying to be real cool during this whole beginning and intro part.
You just saw Lego Batman.
Anyone, okay. Name another song on 25 other than Hello.
I don't know.
Is there a goodbye? Is there a goodnight? Name another. I don't know another song off 25.
Oops,
period.
Wrong number. Something like that. I don't know. There's nothing. Well, yeah. Look, for Lemonade, a lot of people only know Formation. And so, like, to the point that you were saying earlier, like, there should have been Daddy Issues or anything else. I think Formation was just like
Daddy
a song.
Lessons. That's
a See, exactly. Exactly. I don't even know. Daddy Drama, whatever the fuck. Like,
don't do that.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Beehab, don't come for me. So she only put out Formation, right? And
no, she didn't. She didn't just put out.
Put it out, though?
Formation is pre us getting Lemonade.
Yeah. Right, that's the thing that I'm saying. So with Lemonade, there was nothing in the traditional sense of like these are singles from the project, because that was such a cohesive project. Lemonade, right?
It was a different project. It's a whole visual. I feel like Lemonade was marketed as like more than just an album. Yeah. It's like a project that like nobody else does. When you think of Lemonade, you don't just think of specific songs. Most people think of the whole thing. They think of seeing it. They think of the visuals. They see that the gifts, the
Serena,
each the symbolism, all that.
Yeah,
her family. They think of so many different things when they think of Lemonade. Beyond Formation, but they think of it as all together, not like usually separate songs.
The Grammys is a show that often is thematic, and my problem with last night was you did a tribute to the Bee Gees in Saturday Night Fever, right?
Right.
The one of the highest grossing before, I guess, the body got it, the highest grossing soundtrack. Then your tribute to Prince was only the music from the movie Purple Rain, which is the perfect setup for you to give album of the year to the visual album, which is Lemonade. And instead, you had to give it to Adele because that's what you played in your car on the way to work.
I think it's like the election where there might have been a lot of white women who said, hey, Beyonce had the better album, but they probably didn't vote that way. I think that's what it came down to. You know, do you think Adele voted for Beyonce or Adele voted for Adele?
I think Adele voted for Beyonce.
I think she did too.
I think she's completely sincere.
Yeah, I just think the votes went a different way, man.
I mean, there was some good things that we could look at for the Grammys. I thought Tribe showed out.
That was incredible. Mm-hmm. I always had a conspiracy theory that the Song Award Tour prevented them from getting more Grammy love. And the fact that they were able to perform award tour at the Grammys was so dope to me. Because that is like one of their hypest songs in concert. And it was just a big, like, finally the Tribe is at the Grammys. And finally they are performing the song that was made for collecting Grammys.
Right.
Yeah.
What I don't know, because I didn't watch it live, I watched highlights after. So I'm not sure what the mood, like what the tone of the show was like before they showed up. Like what had happened. I'm not sure if it was like, if it's boring, right? Like I know Beyonce came out early, but I'm not sure like what the mood of the show was. And was it like things already heating up, or was it just like, oh, this is the biggest like shock. Like everybody
It was actually a good show. Like normally there's those moments during the Grammys where you're like, I have to turn this off. These people mm-hmm. are old. I understand that. But they, you know, this is not the best that, you know, performance that I could have seen. Right. But yeah, everyone was given a good performance. Katy Perry did a new song and a very political thing, which got like a lot of, I guess a lot of people were like excited. And I think people were waiting on someone to say something anti-Trump, something.
I don't think they expected him to yell out Agent Orange.
No.
I don't think he was expected to say it himself, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, no, that was great. But, you know, I love that the Tribe was able to honor the Tribe and also make a statement that's important for today. You know, it was like a very topical performance, but also a performance that like showed, hey, our live show game has always been on point. Mm-hmm. Go check the tapes of, you know, Arsenio and but at the same time, like, this is going on and we are going to make our theme about this. We're going to show, you know, Muslim people.
Call, shout out to the Muslim ban on live TV.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a Trump tweet yet about that.
No. Did he even tweet about SNL yet? Last night?
Nah.
Oh, not last night, a few nights ago.
He's today, I think, was mostly like golf and shit. It's weird.
I felt that performance with Tribe was just like, it felt like closure. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In a weird way, it was like, you know, being a Tribe fan for so many years and then finally seeing them do a war tour and then to be like, bring it back. That blew my mind. I don't know why. I was like, oh, it's the Grammys. You don't stop and tell the DJ to cut it up and start again. But that's what they did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was just some cool hip hop. Shit, like exactly. I haven't seen in a minute, so dope. Pew pew pew.
I'm waiting on a pivot.
I thought I was just gonna lay into everything right now.
No, because
I thought Bruno Mars killed it. He did a great job.
He did great.
The Weeknd totally bit off of the 2008 Kanye West performance.
Brought out the robots.
He brought out the robots.
I didn't see it. What was?
Oh, so he did that.
I'm not sure the video I saw was like 2 minutes long. It wasn't a lot, but
it was on Twitter.
He's got a song with Daft Punk and they performed it.
Okay,
but it wasn't as dope. You know, they weren't in a pyramid.
No.
His jacket didn't glow. His sunglasses, you know, didn't have blinds that glue, you know.
Yeah.
Past sense of glow.
Didn't. It was fine.
Yeah,
I always liked seeing Daft Punk.
It was cool.
Because I feel like they're about to do something crazy this year. Everybody keeps talking about them maybe going to another festival or going on tour or something.
What else can they do? They got to go to space and do around the world, around the world. Around the world. Like, you just turn on the NASA channel. Around the world, around the world.
Who's the dude building the rockets to go to Mars? What's that guy's name? Elon Musk?
Elon Musk?
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah. The crazy dude who wants to dig a tunnel under Los Angeles. That guy. Team up with him. All he does is crazy shit.
I mean, I wish I knew Daft Punk. I can't just, like, hit them up with ideas, but.
It's tough to get a hold of.
Shout out to Chance. Yo, real talk. Chance won that Grammy last night. That was dope.
Did they show it?
He brought out Kirk. Yeah, they showed it.
Yeah.
He best new artist.
Best new artist and best rap album.
And best rap album.
That's well deserved. I heard they didn't show Solange's win.
No. But that, you know what I think's gonna happen?
What?
Solange, Beyonce, Adele project. I'm putting it out there.
That would be dope.
That's crazy.
For me personally, I was mad that so I didn't know, like, Solange didn't even get nominated for Album of the Year. That might have been my favorite. That was definitely one of my favorites. I thought that if one was gonna win, I would have picked that one even over Lemonade.
You thought Solange was gonna win Album of the Year?
Why not?
Beyonce can't even win Album of the Year. And you think Solange gonna win? You think she gonna pull a Eli? And just
go pull an Eli.
And just get one. You get a Tyree moment.
All you need is somebody to catch it. Mm-mm. One vote.
Do you think sonically Solange's album is better than Beyonce's album?
No. Stop doing that.
Because you said you thought it was gonna win. I'm just seeing where you.
I would have liked to see it get nominated.
Okay.
And if it would have won, I would have been extremely happy and extremely proud, because her album is different than Beyonce's. They have some similar tones, but I think hers is uplifting in a different way. I think it struck a chord a little bit more emotionally and spiritually, and it definitely sounds different. Beyonce is kind of like. She's all over the place. She's got a lot more sounds that she plays with, and it's cool. And that's great. I'm just saying, like, preferential.
You just wanted her to.
I wanted Solange to get some more shine than that. I'm bummed out that they didn't put that on TV. It's like, do they hear the shit that people say about the Grammys? Like, each year, people have less and less reason to show up when it gets more blatant that you don't respect certain artists. That you don't, like, you'll pit this, you'll play it, you'll invite them to the show, come look good for the camera. We like sponsors, we like money, but we won't really recognize your achievements, or we'll make your achievements seem less than everybody else's. That doesn't make any sense. How, I don't know, it just doesn't add up. It's too obvious. It's not even like hiding shit anymore. Not even like discreet. What happened to like laid back attacks?
No Grammys Subversive. For Rihanna.
That this album year. Was great too.
Anti, yeah.
That
Anti?
Album was amazing. Great R&B album.
Yeah, that album was great. And she was nominated a whole bunch.
For Anti?
Mm-hmm.
Great music on that album. R&B wise specifically.
You're an R&B dude, I feel like.
Love it. Love R&B. Like, I do like genre bending albums, but I also love, like, when an album is just like, okay, this is just what we're doing. Like, when we were talking about Bruno Mars earlier, it's like, hey, I'm going to stay in this pocket for this entire album conceptually. I like that. But also, to your point, Chris, I think that we need to start focusing on, like, championing the BET type of awards where it's like, okay, these matter to us because they are listening. You know what I mean? Where you would see like Solange and Anti and Lemonade and all these other great albums together really fighting it out. And you would think that the voting board would be torn. It wouldn't be that thing of like, oh yeah, come, we like your music. Right. Yeah, come sit with us. And then snaps.
I understand that. I love the BET Awards, but the BET Awards encompasses everything. So you're not going to get those in-depth categories, you know, because BET Awards is a music awards, but they have a sports awards. They have a favorite actor award, you know, so.
BET Music Awards then.
That would be cool. A BET Music Awards. You know, there used to be the Essence Awards.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know, because, you know, there was a time where there were black award shows that were huge. You had the NAACP Awards. There's a video on YouTube of Michael Jackson showing up and everyone losing their minds at the NAACP Awards. There's a video of, you know, when Hammer was hot, Hammer performing at the NAACP Awards, like with the whole production and everything, shutting it down, winning every award, like best athlete, Hammer, like what? Like, come on, you saw those dances, like just every single award. Yeah. But, you know, something happened in the mid-2000s where, you know, popular black culture became like, I mean, it was clearly like feeding popular culture, but it just became popular culture. And part of that is that time period we talk about on this podcast with Kanye West.
There you go.
And, you know, those award shows went away. And they went to, you know, they were on Friday nights. No one's watching. That's not a big television night. You know, when I was a kid, I remember the NAACP Awards would be a Thursday night show.
Mm-hmm.
It would be on Fox. They had all those, you know, Fox shows.
Yeah.
So you knew all those people were going to be there. Plus, they had, you know, tons of celebrities there that were young and budding. You know, your Halle Berry's, your Denzel's, you know, that sort of thing. But then that next class, I think they were, they didn't get, I don't think, the same crossover in movies and acting as much. And what suffered was those award shows. So they moved to your Fridays, your Saturdays, and didn't get the same viewership, didn't get the same level of stardom, you know?
Yeah.
Your Soul Train Awards is on Centric.
Yeah.
BET, you know, I mean, the BET Awards, you know, they're extended to cable, you know, and it's and you know, viewership-wise, it's not a huge dip. Yeah. But, you know, for people who are off the grid or off, you know, off cable, it is a huge dip. And, you know, you're losing younger people. And then not only that, you don't have as much money to play with.
Yeah.
Like the BET Hip Hop Awards is a great, I think, award show.
It's a great
show.
Yeah.
It's a very underrated award show. As far as production wise, like you've never seen Travis Scott be able to do the things that he did at the BET Awards, as far as like the giant truck and the action figure and like the fire and stuff. Like, you've never seen that type of production put behind him. You know, like when Good Music did the BET Awards and they had the giant Lamborghini and they came out, you know, like moments like that is like, you know, through the BET Awards. But I think that, you know, Beyonce, you know, did a simulcast with the BET Awards this year. You know, of course, I think Solange is going to be there. But at the same time, I don't know. It kind of sucks because what do you want them to do? You can't boycott because you didn't win.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but you got people starting to like not even submit.
Did Frank Ocean submit?
Ocean didn't submit.
He didn't submit.
The Roots didn't submit.
Yeah.
Some people just didn't show up. Just Drake was like, it's not worth me coming.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to start happening, where it's like people are going to feel undervalued musically, and maybe there might be the artist taking back the power with their music. You know what I mean? Like, when I look at the story of like Chance or Kendrick and some of like the new guys now, where it's like this has been a lot of groundwork with just Twitter, SoundCloud, and all these people becoming really successful, and then they have to be recognized by the Grammys. Like,
right.
For him to be like, I'm not even selling this album. We're not going to have anything physical. We're going to win a Grammy off this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll work with you, but you have to come to where I'm at, and then we can start the dialogue.
I mean, like, how quickly
Well, they can say fuck.
Well, he just, like how quickly could he realize, like, oh, I did all this by myself, and y'all still brought me out here. Y'all still gave me an awards, but like, don't really need you.
Yeah.
Don't.
I don't know if all the people who don't do the Grammys is necessarily because they like are anti-Grammys, or if they feel
read
like
Frank's letter.
Oh, Frank went crazy.
He's definitely anti-Grammys.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
But he kind of got used.
What do you mean?
The first time, like his first Grammys, they kind of used him, you know? Yeah.
But
like,
if he had submitted, he would have been nominated.
Yeah, I
he would have been in there.
Definitely.
He did that shit on purpose, and he put out that letter precisely at the same time. And people picked it up. Solange picked it up. Slowly but sure. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's all parallel in like the situation in like a country right now where people are starting to just get fed up in his frustrations, and they realize, well, shit's just going to stay bad unless we just get out here and start doing shit on our own. And everybody is still figuring it out. Everybody is still figuring out what's the best way to resist, to protest, to revolt against the administrations and powers that be. And I don't know. It'll be a beautiful thing to see it all kind of. They're all working towards the same thing, and that's a better institution than we fucking have right now in all areas. Obviously, some are more important than others right now.
But. Well, if we ban foreigners, then people like Adele wouldn't be over here winning awards, Adele. Doing tributes to George Michael.
You heard it here. Rob wants to ban Adele. I didn't say it.
Bieber gotta go. Drake gotta go. All of them. Everybody gotta go.
Oh man, Mike, my man, tell us what was your first introduction to Kanye West?
Oh, my first introduction to Kanye, I think was the Blueprint album.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was my boy Mike. It was after September 11th.
Yourself.
No, my boy. I had a friend named Mike.
I looked in the mirror. I was like, Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
You hear these beats? And I was like, yeah, Mike.
Made you feel existential and shit. Nah, my boy Mike was like, yo, you gotta come to the car. I just got the new Jay-Z. So he puts that CD in and we're listening to it. And back at that time, like, I used to read all the CD covers because I was always like, you know, who's producing what? Mm-hmm. My favorites at the time were... I think Timbaland's the king. Neptunes were great. I love Jermaine Dupri, and Just Blaze, because he was from Jersey and I was in college in Jersey. It was like, oh shit, we got somebody from Jersey producing these beats. And I think it was like that album was like split up in thirds. It was Bink, Just Blaze, and Kanye. And Kanye had so many of the good soulful songs. I was like, man, who is this dude?
Yeah.
And then I started like looking more into him. I think like Napster was popping back then. And so mm-hmm. I started finding all these other things. So like that's how I found them. And then we had the and then what cemented it was that College Dropout mixtape thing that was supposed to be the album. I don't know if you guys like came across it, where it had Never Let Me Down, didn't have the second Jay-Z verse in it, and it was like the whole album was like not mastered yet. But it was like
I remember there was an interview with him on MTV with Tariq, and he was upset.
Yeah,
his album got leaked. That it got leaked. Yeah.
I had that album. It was just dope. And it was like, oh man, I'm in school. I'm with the alphas at this time. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, yo, I get everything that's going on with this. I'm doubting college, and this College Dropout thing came out, and that's when like that was my first kind of like Kanye-ness. That was the first time. Was Blueprint. The first time I really was like, "Yo, this is the guy." College Dropout, that bootleg joint.
You wanted to do the whole Blueprint album?
No. I mean, I did want originally. I was like, "Yo, let's just go through the Blueprint." I think the Welcome Back remix though is the one though.
That's, yo, this I have to say is my favorite choice of any on this podcast, just because number one, this song is extremely rare.
Mm.
Number two, Kanye's favorite rapper is Mace.
Mm.
And number three, this verse is incredible.
It's incredible. I think it's one of his best verse, top five verses. In a way that he constructed a whole verse that flowed the entire time.
Right.
Like,
what you trying to say?
I mean I mean, now he's putting, I mean, like, I don't know.
He missed the old Kanye.
I do.
You know what? Y'all going to take advantage, open up the fridge, and eat my sandwich.
I think like, there was a time when Kanye used to do a lot of, I think his audience, when it used to just kind of be, like, rap fans, that he really focused on, like, the bars when he was saying and his flow and his construction. And then you can tell, like, he's rapping on a song with his favorite rapper, so he's like, man, I got to make sure I come correct on this. There was a lot, like, I think the next time that he did something like that was like Run This Town, where you're like, oh man, he is trying to rap. Like, he might have got Jay-Z on that song. This is a song where I hear him going against Mace, who, me being from Harlem, that's like one of my favorite rappers. Which, it was just a great song.
I'm not gonna let you just make it sound like he only raps good every 5 years. There were plenty of great verses in between, you know what I'm saying? The Welcome Back remix and Run This Town. Everything that's like a huge chunk of my life that was just like, yeah. And then after that, Run This Town, what?
If you like that type of shit, you know.
He was like,
I mean, he had great, but I'm saying, like, those verses where you're like, man, Kanye, like, spazzed more than the other person on the song, like, the person's song it was. You know what I mean?
Lollipop remix?
I think
Swagger Like Us.
He can.
I think like the Throw Them D's remix was.
I think Kanye could was beat.
Crazy. Yeah,
he could. He's but it's like it's all. It's. I think he reminds people what he can do when he's like next to somebody. He's like, I have to step up. I have to show people I got to at least be on his level or better. And this is like 2004.
Yeah,
it's 2004. He's still relatively new. Isn't he still kind of transitioning, Dropout is out, but he's still like from producer dude to
he's still trying to get like, I mean, he was still more known as a producer at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so like he needed to rap, like I don't like for real.
He was proving himself at this time.
And you know that rap. I mean, it's like when rappers doing like when Lil Wayne went on his like mixtape Weezy Run, like those bars, he was rapping like a monster. I feel that like during that early era of Kanye, he was like, stop treating me like I'm just a producer.
He was becoming people's favorites.
Yeah.
He was becoming my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like anytime I heard him, I was like, you know, like, I think I'm going to enjoy this. And then he would come with something.
Mm-hmm. But
Mace said, come on.
Mike said, Shamon.
But it's like
off early, like 8 in the morning.
I don't even think it's not even close. Like, he destroys, like, Mace is not, like, when Mace comes, I'm like, it's all right.
Welcome back.
It's like,
yeah, you kind of forget it's Mace's song.
But, you know, part of it was he made this beat that was probably hard to, like, rap on. Like, there's a lot going on this beat. And so I think it was like, oh, I know exactly.
Do you think it's like, I got a Welcome Back remix for you? You're like, the beat to, like, Welcome Back is just like this.
Yeah. It's this, Welcome Back Cottage. Welcome back.
And this beat comes on. He's like, welcome, hey, what is this?
Yeah. And this beat is like, it's pianos in the background. It's, right. You know,
John Legend's howling at you for no reason.
You got the tempo. The tempo is high, and you got
it's like a million beats per
minute. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's like, Kanye, I just got back.
Start up early. Slow down a bit. Like Raven Simone, Keisha Knight, Pull, Emmanuel. Like, come on, man. Using real names. Like, this is pre-Wikipedia.
That's weird. Do you think Emmanuel Lewis is just one name kind of dude? Like who took
when
that
you
away from
naming child stars? I think yeah.
I would have known.
Also, you got to think the Mace went gospel. Kanye's got Jesus Walks. So there's also the double use of like for like the people who just don't pay attention. Mm-hmm. They're just here Emmanuel, like, you know, Jesus.
Mm.
That's like, I would have just been like, you needed to rhyme.
I thought it was Emmanuel Lewis,
it's,
right?
It is. Okay. It is Emmanuel. It is Emmanuel. Okay.
It is Emmanuel Lewis.
The way you're talking, I'm like, was it Jesus this whole time?
No. I mean, you know, he was 12 when he, you know what I'm saying? When the people found him, and then, you know what I'm saying? Oh, but yeah. Nah, I think it's Emmanuel Lewis, but it was just in that spot. I think that was perfect. That was what he was doing at the time with words. It was just like, oh, the way you put that together, only you could put that together, and it goes.
Yeah. And it was just like the flow. I don't even know if he cursed in that verse. Did he curse in that verse? I don't think so.
No. I don't think so.
I don't think he cursed in the verse. I think it
I'm in the club with the Henny ass in my other hand.
Are we gonna?
I'm in the club with the Henny ass in my other hand. Lord, please forgive me.
I'm just a man.
Yeah, he asked for forgiveness immediately after he cursed. So,
what was that?
Emmanuel.
I'm still trying to make some adjustments.
This is
like they did Janet and Justin there, me and my cousin there. Whew, it's all busted. And I mean, come on. He was spazzing.
This is years before he went up on stage with Taylor Swift, and everybody's like, why's Kanye got that Henny in his hand? So he's always had Henny in his hand.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Way before Young M.A., Kanye had that Henny.
Oh my God.
So Chris texted me that you was gonna pick this song, and then I played it. I hadn't heard it in, who knows, maybe 11 years, 10 years. And I'm Harlem shaking at the train station. I'm Harlem shaking so well, someone asked me for directions. I was like, okay, I'm Harlem shaking like I'm from here. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I can't help you.
Point
like,
me to Nipsey's, brother.
I thought you knew where you was going by that Harlem shake.
He's like, nope, I'm lost too. But I'm having fun with it.
were you Harlem shaking in this era?
Yeah. Man, I mean, in this
pick
time,
your leg up, brush
time,
it off.
No, I didn't do any pick your leg up. I did have airbrush tees.
Okay.
I did wear a lot of Fat Farm at that time.
Okay.
Did have, like, we all looked like we were in, like, fabulous videos.
You from New York. Was you a baggy hat guy? Or did your hat fit?
Originally baggy hat. Originally baggy hat. Yeah, Oh, yeah. Everything was baggy.
We look like, yo, what? Where, how did baggy hats start? Because for me, as someone who, like, when I bought a hat, I had to think about the potential of it being stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could not afford to have a baggy hat. Like, is that it? Is that like I wish you would steal my hat in your size because they're fitted.
That's funny. I think it was you would usually have a lot of, like, you'd usually roll deep everywhere. So it'd be like four or five of y'all. So it's like, if someone was going to take your hat, they had to go through like four of your friends to get the hat. You know what I mean?
Also, if you had a baggy hat, that means all your clothes were baggy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You couldn't not, like, baggy hats look terrible with not baggy clothes. You
can't have like a fitted shirt.
Your shirt has to be several sizes bigger or else your baggy hat looks cartoonish.
Oh, your sleeves God. Only down to your elbows.
Yeah, that's it. You're just like baggy. You can't do that.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Baggy hats.
No, man, I was used to Harlem Shake and all that. But like that was also a crazy time for Harlem because you had like Cam was the only one in Harlem kind of like rapping. And then Loon was doing some of the leg work. You had G Dep, but you didn't have that that flossy fun vibe anymore.
Everybody talking about welcoming this, welcoming that. You wasn't welcome in the first place. How we welcome them back?
I'm sorry. That's crazy. Bars.
Dipset.
Oh, man. It's also really sad. I just want to take a time out. Cameron went on IG Live.
Man.
And went against Jim Jones. And
did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
You didn't. I watched it for like a half hour.
It's like an hour.
By the
and
time
half.
This comes out, I would have seen it though.
Yeah, it's a lot, man.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Yeah, just a moment.
I love how it was set up. It was like Like this is how Cameron would do a Skype job interview.
Cameron is very entertaining, dude. He's very entertaining on IG Live.
He's funny.
Last
dude.
Time I saw him on IG Live, it was he gave a press conference explaining why he was not on Love and Hip Hop New York. And it was like, you could have just said I'm not.
How
like,
long was it?
He was like, I want to release a statement.
That's I'm what I thought. I was. I thought. I thought that he was gonna come out and respond, and I was like, "Well, this would be like a 10-minute thing." And it's like, "No, this thing wasn't ending." He was on story after story yeah. after story, like explaining everything, like by day.
I have
day.
To watch this.
It's yeah. He starts it. It starts with him being well. With Jim Jones interview too on High 97, like they talk. He talks about like meeting him when like when they were like 5, 6. So Cam's right. story starts with like, "Well, I was 4 years old," and
what?
Just yeah. It's crazy. It's insane. It's something that like Kanye will do. When okay, let me ask you guys.
I was 4 years old saying Lego my ego, playing with Play-Doh. He tried to grab my Legos. I said, "What up?
Yo, you can't. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this right
I'm
now.
I'm sorry.
Don't do this. If you don't want me to say Kanye ain't have a 5-year drought, you can't. That is a style of rhyming that is well respected.
Come on. For off the top.
I got a piece of pizza. Bought a piece of pizza. Took a
what
to
up,
a
Little
pizza.
Caesars.
Pizza, pizza. I just got my Little Caesar.
Yo, shout out, rest in peace to Mike Illich, man. Founder of Pizza Pizza. Owner of the Red Wings, Tigers.
Okay.
Oh,
I
yeah,
was
yeah.
like, how, why and how do you know that? Okay. It, knew it was going to be some Detroit stuff. Hey, oh, man. Hey, I got a new girlfriend out in Detroit, though. I'd like to shout out. Yo, shout out to my cougar. Shout out to Monique.
Hey, man. You asshole.
No. 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 Never, ever again. I swear to God, I'll leave. Never. I'm the only one who gets to shout out. Shout out to Monique. I'm the only one who gets to do that.
I tried to do that last one,
I am disgusted.
You stepped on it.
If you don't know, that's my mom.
I was about to say, last time me and Brandon did a podcast, at the end of the podcast, he's like, yeah, I just want to say, yo, I saw your mom's Facebook. She's looking good. She looks really good.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I was like, nah, this is the last episode, man. We fighting. There's no
podcast over.
This podcast over. There's no way to compliment. But no, don't even speak.
Wow.
Oh, she's still live? That's good. That's all I want to hear, man. I'm sorry.
I mean, if she's updating Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, she got chill. She got to go fund me out there. I hear the most disgusting stuff about my mom from Sydney and Marie. Shout out to Sydney.
Washington, oh yeah, they'll roast you.
Yeah,
they ain't shy. They came on here.
Oh boy,
they tried to take over the podcast.
No, don't let them do that. Don't let them do that.
What's your favorite and least favorite Kanye song?
This is a fun question. I would say my least favorite Kanye song is Feedback.
Off the Life of Pablo?
But wait, I also think that's one of my favorite songs, too.
What?
I know.
Who just did this? Did Brandon do this? My favorite song is also...
No, your girl Ashley did this.
Oh, she did do that.
Yeah, with Drunken Hot Girls.
Oh, no, whoa. Drunken Hot Girls. This is my least favorite song in the world.
No.
That song was so bad.
No.
Most Def cannot come back to the States. They were like,
what?
He was at the border and they played Drunken Hot Girls. And he said, no, you could keep your ass out of the country.
That's the beginning. No. You realize Drunken Hot Girls is the beginning. 808 starts Drunken Hot Girls.
I hate that.
Michael Jackson told Kanye he could sing.
They told Biggie he can sing, and he sung Play a Hater, and it was horrible. But I mean, it's a classic song, but... I think Drunken Hot Girls, least favorite Kanye song. I mean, I'm glad that...
glad we brought it up. So
I'm glad that song is on the album, though.
Yeah.
Because if that song was on the album... then it would have to be another song that I really like that I probably wouldn't like. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I needed a dud on that album. I needed one dud. All the other songs were great. It was like, nothing is perfect. And then Drunken Hot Girls, I said, oh, there it is. Because it's Drunken Hot Girls, then Big Brother, right?
Yeah.
Because I think sonically it was like, oh, this is jamming, this is jamming, this is jamming. This is, oh my, what the fuck? I'm turning this shit off. Then, boom.
Drunk and Hot Girls, boom, boom. Flashing Lights.
Oh, then yeah, flashing, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
He dug himself into the hole just to dig himself out.
I think.
Flashing Lights.
I never had a problem with Drunk and Hot Girls. I really didn't. And people who did, I was like, I get it. I get it. I get it. But I never had a problem. Like, I don't know.
It was just so, it's fucked up to be like, oh, it was just so different. So I don't like it. But it's kind of what it was sonically for me. Like 808s, I didn't like my first few listens. Then I sat with, they went through a breakup and it was like, oh, this album is the greatest album I've ever listened to in my life.
You need to go through a drive through then.
That's
and
then the
maybe,
thing.
Maybe, you know, 2 a.m., you at Taco Bell.
Have a little sippy sippy.
Oh my god.
Oh man. And your favorite is
my favorite
feedback?
No. I'm gonna say my favorite is Good Life. That's my favorite. I mean, that's a good Michael Jackson sample. That's it has the god, the genius T-Pain on it for no reason. And you can't once that like we about like we always do. Like when that comes up, you're like, "Uh-oh, it's coming."
That's true.
Yeah,
that is true.
Like we always do with this, and that BJ, you already ready to rock. You just wait for it, and so like, there's no way. And those chords, the PYT chords are so good. Beep 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 beep. It's just great. It's great.
There's a good video of, was it DJ Toomp helping him
with the drums? Probably
with the drums. Yeah,
too. I thought that he was going to become a little bigger after those albums, like start producing for more people. Mm-hmm. Because even on, I don't know if he helped on Famous, but like sonically, I feel like Famous is the sequel to Big Brother musically. Just like how those drums hit. Because Famous is like... And Big Brother is like, it just sounds like sonically, it sounds like the same type of drums, the same type of feel. Like when I heard Famous for the first time, I was like, Toomp is insane. And I was like, oh no, that's Swiss. I said,
but yeah, Famous is Swiss. Like that puts me more into like Welcome to the Jungle on the Watch the Throne type of mode.
Okay.
Yeah.
That harder rock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like that's another song. Like Famous has a crazy kick, but it's just Good Life has that when that bass kicks in and everything. It's just like such a feel good, happy vibe, and that sample just fast. So I think that's like my favorite.
That's important because see, a lot of people discount like party records but party records extend your legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Jay-Z's legacy will always be intact because, you know, when we start to go to weddings and stuff, you could play PSA and no one's going to have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like any club, you know, it trips me out when people are like, oh, I don't play any Jay-Z anymore. Like, if you play PSA in the South, it will still go. People will, like, allow me to reintroduce. Like it's still... It still goes. And we always do it this time.
Something that, yeah.
That is that PSA moment.
You can, it's like, you can be playing any song as a DJ. Doesn't matter what song. If you want to transition to some party shit, you cut that off and, you know, whatever it is. Around the world. Like we always do with it. And people just, they already know. Yeah, like right. When you hear that, it's like your brain says, oh, I know what's coming up. Bounce.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So I think that's like this. That's why it's one of my favorite.
One of the tactics Jay-Z did battling Nas is he took away his party songs. Uchiwali and that song with Genuine. I've been in a club with those playing like recently post takeover, and these songs jam. Oh, that was like some strategy, because if he would have never took a dump on this song would have always been there. Like now it's ironic because it was made fun of, but that don't like when you hear that
to Timbo. Don't you do that to Timbaland. Don't you do that to
Timbaland.
Don't you do that to Timbo.
What you mean?
Don't, that was amazing stuff. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was without, okay. I'm just, as long as
I wasn't, no, I wasn't making fun of it. No. We just don't have
the rules of Tim podcast when you talk about Timbaland production.
I mean, he ain't no yay, but it's all good.
What?
He's not. And
Ye bows to Tim. Ye was like, "Yo, I got this strong, the song stronger. My drums ain't right. I need help. Can
because
somebody help me, please?"
His drums was like, were stifled by No ID. This because No ID never gave him the drum kit when he was younger. It's not Ye's fault that he's not great with drums.
That's a conversation you got to have with Chicago.
Number one. Number two, when it comes to producer for Justin Timberlake, Pharrell is way better than Timberland, hands down.
You are on the ledgiest of ledges.
No, hell no.
You are on the ledgiest.
Justified over anything Justin Timberlake's ever done.
Justified.
Except for Girlfriend, because that's produced by Pharrell.
Justified was a Michael Jackson album that Michael didn't want.
Mike's decision making was not on point at that time. And Mike regretted that decision.
Oh, yes, he did.
Mike said, "Oh, I messed up."
Oh, yeah. I got to holler at Rodney Jerkins to get this you rock my world money. That's what Mike did. But what I'm saying is Timbaland is a better producer for Justin, as evidenced by all the albums after Justified were all done by Timbaland. Because Justin was like, you know what?
No.
This is where I need to go.
Pharrell was mad at the record label because of the way that they put out NERD. And so Pharrell was like, he's not going to produce any more Justin albums because that was the same record label. Had nothing to do with, they're
was
still cool.
I think it
was Jive Records. So that being said, you can't tell me that Timbaland is better than
Timbaland.
Pharrell.
Timbaland better than Pharrell? I thought we were saying Kanye.
I mean, Kanye.
You got two arguments going right now, Rap. So
okay,
you fighting two arguments. You saying that Timbaland. You saying Pharrell is a better producer for Justin Timberlake than Timbaland is, and you're saying that Kanye is indisputably a better producer than Timbaland.
He's trying to hit me with the Jay-Z and take away Tim's party records, and I'm not gonna let him do that. I'm not gonna let you do that. Because Tim gave out, what was it? No, that was Pharrell. I was gonna say Rock Your Body, but that was Pharrell.
Mm-hmm.
What did he have on that album?
He had Cry Me a River.
I mean, come on.
I could do without it. It's no Senorita. It's no Like I Love You. It's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe.
It's no Rock Your Body.
Those are different vibes, though. Those are different. It's like what we were saying, like with the song, you also have to factor in the vibe of the song. You know, Cry Me a River, do 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 do. That's different. That's a different vibe from then bin 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 bin. That's a totally different vibe.
See, come you on, man. Come on, dog. Come on.
All right.
Producing for Jay-Z, who would you rather? You would rather Timbo? You would rather
Kanye?
Kanye.
But this question: which Jay-Z? The now Jay-Z or the Jay-Z of yesteryear? Because
I don't think it matters.
You don't think it matters? Because I think there's like,
what? Okay.
And also which one of the producers? Because we were saying, okay, we're doing loop the sample Kanye.
Okay.
Or we're doing,
this is real easy.
Here we go.
On the Blueprint. Timbaland did what?
Jay was only able to afford one song.
I was with you before. I don't think this is a fair argument. I think,
right? Jay-Z could only afford one song.
That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
His bucket was low. His Rockaware was fitting incredible. He got his swagger back. What are you talking about? He can only afford one Timberland song.
Oh my God! Well, the thing about
the Blueprint.
No, see the thing with the Blueprint.
Let's go to Black Album.
Oh, wait, but just about the Blueprint.
What did
that
Timberland
was an album that
Black
was supposed
album?
To be just like a Rockefeller centric album. The Blackout. Dirt off Black Album? Dirt on your shoulders. Are you crazy?
Dirt on your shoulders.
That's crazy. I mean, come on.
It's better than Encore, Lucifer.
Lucifer's that's a good loop.
It's better than Encore.
I think. To disagree.
But then we're going to get into technicals about like Dirt Off Your Shoulder is completely no sample versus him looping the samples again. Kanye looping the samples for Lucifer and Encore versus Dirt Off Your Shoulder, where that's just like totally original. So you're like, oh, what's the better producer? It's like, I do understand a producer picking the sound and be like, okay, this is a better song or whatever. This might feel like a better song, but Dirt Off the Shoulders is crazy.
With the original word, you know what I'm saying?
I think
did Timbaland invent the keyboard?
Yeah, he invented the baby crying. It wasn't a baby crying in the background before Tim made a baby cry. That's not a baby.
That's Prince.
Didn't Stevie Wonder do that? Stevie Wonder did.
Yeah, that's Prince.
There you go.
That's a sample.
Timbaland is Prince's father. You learned it right here.
No. There's a track on 1999 where at the end there's that is what's sampled on that Aaliyah song.
And all the Genuines think.
Yeah, that's a Prince sample. Well, unclear.
It's a thing for
Kanye pays the people he samples.
Well, you gonna pay the baby?
He gonna pay Prince. Prince is the baby. Ain't no baby.
if the whole beat, see, because this is going to get to a weird discussion. If the whole beat was just the baby crying or the baby crying really fast, that's a different thing.
But that is a whole beat. The Aaliyah beat.
The boom, boom. That. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom.
Do that without the Prince noise. It's not the same. It's incomplete. Incomplete.
Do a Kanye song without the sample. All you got is
Timbaland.
That's it.
That's John Legend.
Timbaland didn't. Thank you for labeling that one, because me and the viewers at home did not know what that was. I was like, did Jodeci walking around?
There you go.
There you go.
Casey singing.
Rob is like so pissed,
I ain't never met no Timbo like guy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm rooting to the truth. I ain't never met no Timbo.
Are you not a Timbo guy though?
I don't have a problem with Timberland, but
Whoa, you don't recognize that he's like one of the top producers of all time.
He's acting like
Timberland is one of the top producers of all time. Timbaland is one of the top producers of all time.
Timothy Mosley.
And him in the 90s is great. But at the same time, when you get to about 2005, I don't want to hear hardly anything Timberland. Timbaland produced Drip Drop Drippity Drop on Empire.
You damn right he did.
Drip.
Oh, God. Drip, drippity drop. I mean, you know, Danger Hands ghost produced that. Danger Hands. I'm putting that on Danger Hands. I'm not going to even put that on.
First of all, we have to understand that, listen, Aaliyah dies. Missy gets sick.
Missy didn't get sick. Missy got away from Timbaland, and Missy was never the same. I wouldn't okay. I'm not doubting Timbaland, but at the same time, during the Kanye era, I'd rather hear Kanye beats than Timbaland beats, point blank.
I'd
rather hear Just Blaze beats than Timbaland beats, point blank. I'd rather hear Pharrell beats than Timbaland beats.
I would not. I think the Neptunes, they ended up getting stale to a certain degree, and they had to come out of their hole. Like when they had the Khalees album, they did some great music on that.
Yeah.
And then except for like Nori, all their beats started sounding like exactly the same. And then they did the Nerd album. They just sounded repetitive.
Ask me my favorite Pharrell beat.
Favorite Pharrell.
Boys by Britney Spears.
That's a great beat. I mean, that's a deep cut.
Yeah.
That's a deep that cut. Because they did that around the same time they did Slave, which I thought was a Slave For You, which Slave. I thought was a stupid beat.
Yeah.
And that came, I was like, that is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, they came out their hump. I think Timbaland was still doing amazing stuff, but it just wasn't.
You like Promiscuous Girl.
That was hard.
We don't like Promiscuous Girl.
Everybody loves.
No.
You didn't like when Nelly Furtado, when she had that, like, there was a moment, and that was all Timbaland.
Yeah.
No, I was not cool with pop music at that time.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
I would be more like, let me put my headphones on and listen to Gwen Stefani.
Why is that so far a stretch?
P.
What?
Skateboard.
Skateboard P. He's talking about Skateboard P right now.
But it's still, I mean, you said you don't like pop music. Nelly Furtado. Gwen Stefani is like not pop music.
No. At that time, pop means popular. So Timbaland was successful, but
he also crossed over. He started crossing over to pop.
I was more of a fan of the piano man and
disrespect to the man.
Rob, I'm gonna let you finish. But that's been a new episode.
That's how you sound.
That's been a new episode of the Book of Yay podcast. I'm Chris Daniels. Somebody please back me up here. I think I've ruined it. It feels better in the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like we went too long. Mike, man, thanks for coming out,
thanks
dog.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. I'm not sure when this comes out. Follow me on Twitter at @YoMikeBrown, and I'll be on the tour with Decepticomics. Check it out, Decepticomics.com. Just follow me at @YoMikeBrown on everything.
Yep, follow Mike Brown. Follow all those Decepticomics on Twitter. You guys are fucking hilarious.
Thank you. John Minus, Gordon Breakerbone, Dylan Stevenson, Saron Russell, and Mike Brown.
I just did a show with Gordon Breakerbone. Shout out to Gordon Breakerbone.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have a lot of blasts. Oh, Make sure y'all check them out.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. This has been great. Timbo the King.
Also, no.
Somebody's got to give it up.
Also, New York Pod Fest.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, New York Podcast Festival, NYC Podcast Festival. What does NYC stand for? I guess you have to Google it.
Worth the Google.
We gonna be there.
Go see Lego Batman.
Go see Lego Batman. Unofficial sponsor of the podcast.
Oh man! Shout out to Monique. Peace. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.